A few months ago, I was sitting across from someone who was in Christian radio ministry, not this one in the ministry, told me the most wonderful story of a salvation experience of someone in a very dark country, and it was just wonderful. And it, of course, I've been talking to George on and off for a couple of months and texting, and so, and as part of the missionary committee, I have to pay special attention, and I want to, and I want to think about my own mission, and I hope we all do. So we're glad to have George here today. George and Kathy Ross from Fountainhead, Arizona. Interesting history. So you have three daughters, is that right? Three daughters, no sons. Did they brush your shoulders off when you had a piece of thing on it? I had a roommate with three sisters, and every time we saw a sister, they would just walk up. And I had two sisters and eight brothers, eight boys, and we didn't care how you looked. But anyway, so your wife's back in Arizona right now. So I'm just excited to finally see you. If you didn't show up, I would have to say something. I think Terry was going to put it all on me, but I'm glad you're here. So anyway, we're really glad to have George Ross from Transworld Radio. And I hope you just enjoy yourself here.
Have you ever considered just how big our world is? You, yes, you, are one of the 7.8 billion people living in it. 7.8 billion. Spread out over more than 500 million square kilometers. That's 200 million square miles of landmass. From bustling cities to desolate mountaintops, that's a lot of ground to cover. So, how do you ensure everyone everywhere has access to the gospel, despite the barriers they face? Let's journey back to 1954, when Dr. Paul Freed faced a similar dilemma. His heart was set on sharing the hope of Jesus with the people of Spain. But how? Door after door was closed to him in Spain. So, he traveled across the 20-something miles of the Straits of Gibraltar to Tangier, Morocco. He knew that radio could bridge the distance. Which means, not only had he stumbled on one of the main barriers to the spread of the gospel, limited access, but also its solution, media. You see, media allows us to speak their language and share the gospel, even if the person doesn't own a Bible or cannot read its truths. It's a friend to the lonely, the nomadic, and those displaced by war. It delivers the gospel where missionaries and Bibles can't go. It gives people the anonymity they need to ask bold questions in hostile communities. And it helps believers live out their faith when secrecy is the only way. Quite simply, media meets people where they are.
Such a privilege to be back with you, and it's exciting for me to be back and see my partners and brothers and sisters in Christ and just share with you what God's doing, as you've seen just a little bit with that video of how He is working through what we're doing to reach people. And you know, as we were sharing prayer requests earlier, I love where a couple of you shared, "But God," because even as we sang "As the Deer," we have a personal, loving Savior, and He's always there. He's waiting for us to come to Him. so that intimate relationship can be as intimate as we want it to be. But to go along with that is we can always end each sentence that we have to share with that term, but God. Because regardless of what the world sees today, we have that coming up, but God, which leads to something far better than a lot of people know, unless they get to hear His word. And I'm a year late. I'm sorry, folks, but life happened, didn't it? In 2019, I got to tell you how things started with us. We came to the U.S., and when I saw you last, I was just starting on an international ministry, from a regional ministry from Asia to global, as I started working in high frequency development, as I'm the development officer for that. And so I was traveling 14 months before I landed in Arizona. I had to be near one of three airports so that I could do this traveling. That was one of the three, and I have two daughters and eight grandchildren there. So that kind of led me that way. But as I was traveling on my last trip in February 2020, I went from Phoenix, Arizona to Incheon in Seoul, Korea, as I was traveling to Malaysia. I was supposed to go to China, and because the COVID had just started at that time, they moved it to Malaysia. By the time I got to South Korea, the airport closed. I was the last flight in, the last flight out. Very few people in the airport. Got to Malaysia, and restrictions started to go down as I'm meeting in a conference there and doing some negotiations and delegate work for our broadcasts. And then from there, trying to find a trip back, I found out Japan had closed their airports. By the time my week was over, I had to travel from Malaysia to Amsterdam, go around the world the other direction to get back home. And as I got back home, there was a men's retreat at our church. We had the men's retreat. It was just 2 days after I got home, and they said, it looks like we're going to close our doors and start doing online meeting. And so that's where things happened. All of a sudden, what I was looking at of traveling almost every month ended up coming down to, guess what, doing work from home. And, of course, that helped to delay coming here. But God, what God did through that is, around the world, it wasn't just us here in the U.S., the globe being the way that it is now, all the different nations had to deal with this. And we found an outpouring or a thirsting of people looking for God's word. It wasn't just us that weren't able to start going to church. It was everywhere. And that started to bring people into where our ministry had already been planted and established in 1954, as you saw, to where it was really starting to get more involvement than ever. And as crises comes about, we see what our President Lauren Libby says now with TWR. He said, where there's a crisis in the world, you will find TWR. So let me share some of that with you right now. I've got something here. This is a radio, and this is one of the radios. There are six models from this company called, get this, Gospel. This is a DRM radio, and on the screen here, it has a, it scrolls through, but it doesn't just, you don't just tune it to find what your frequency is or if it's AM, FM, or shortwave radio. This picks up all AM, FM, and shortwave radio on a digital platform, which is called DRM, stands for Digital Radio Transmundial. And with this, the signal is perfectly clear. If you're listening to, for instance, AM or shortwave radio, you hear background noise, don't you, when it's an analog signal, and then the signal comes in. This does not have that. It sounds like either high FM or CD quality, whether it's AM, FM, or shortwave. And when the ID comes across the screen, it doesn't give you a frequency. It says service, and it'll tell you the services available. And one of those is KTWR Guam. And we broadcast in shortwave, but the listeners in India or other parts of Asia, and I will say Middle East, China, Japan, when they listen to this or when they see it, they just see our station and they can listen to that high, robust signal. And along with that, on the back, we have a USB port and an SD card port. because these come loaded where we can with SD cards that we'll either have, for instance, if you're listening to Through the Bible or Back to the Bible programs or Turning Point or other partners that we have, their series that they're going through, you can get on a card. And that card can be put in here and you can listen to the Bible studies that they've got going along with that. And you can even record with this. So if you get a program, you can record. So that's one of the advantages to this type of radio. Because let's say the best time to get our broadcast into India would be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's early for a lot of folks. Actually, most of our broadcasts are around 8 p.m. India time. But if it came in at that time, then they could record it. And then when they get home, they could listen to the recording. So they always have that potential available. And something else, a type of platform, is on one given frequency, we can do two languages. So we can literally split the 10 kilohertz spectrum of frequency that we're using so that half of it, for instance, can be in the Hindi language and the other one can be in Malayalam language or English or whatever. So that gives us an opportunity to put out twice as much for programs than we're able to normally with an analog broadcast. And that's an exciting thing. And there are other things. There are other types of receivers also that are available. That there are dongles, which would look like your USB drive. For instance, this is the size of what a dongle would look like that you can have with your laptop. And using open source software, meaning that it's free, you can also access the same DRM broadcast that way. And with that comes different graphics or outlines that you can see on the screen that go along with the radio broadcast. So that gives us such greater opportunity to be able to share using this platform. Right now we're using it in Asia, but that's one of the media platforms that we use. Every type of media that's available in the world today, we're in there to be able to not only use it to reach people, but to do what we call cross-promote. Some folks listen to a specific radio platform. Others have this available or our TWR 360 platform, which is on your phone. And I've got some cards downstairs. If you see it, you can get the app and you can pick up all of our English programming that's available, but also the platform in 100 different languages. And so this is something we use. In fact, in the Ukraine right now, we are distributing what we call a power packet. And we've partnered with, Operation World to send these in because they've got some ministry opportunities that they have available that they can use the power pack for. But we have it for smartphones or cell phones or other items where they can pull in our media and they have the address of the information so that they can download that. So that's one of the things that really excites me as we see that develop. And in the Ukraine, something that just happened to go along with that is the Bible library that we have available with TWR on most of our digital platforms in over 100 languages. We started in March with Ukrainian Bible, that they can download the actual Bible as an audio Bible. And then at the beginning of June, we noticed we have a cap on that so that if we reach 5,000 hits in one day, 5,000 people accessing Bibles on that Bible app, then we have to do something else. So as of June 2nd, we had an urgent plea go out to the provider for that, saying we've reached our cap. It turned out that there were 3,000 people a day since June 1st accessing the Ukrainian Bible. So that can tell you how thirsty they are for God's Word. On our TWR app that's on the smartphone, we had an increase in March of 40% from what it was before that. And it was the end of February when the real war started there. By the end of May, it was up to 90% more. So people are listening. And I may be able to share some more with you about that later. But something else I want to share with you, thinking of this digital platform, is we have a program called Every Man a Warrior, and I have some material about that downstairs. And so this book is for men's groups, and it's a study through God's Word. There are three books. There are memory verse cards that go with it. And we have found the greatest impact as we broadcast this program over all of our different platforms. And in Japan, China, India, and in English, from our Guam site, we're broadcasting Every Man a Warrior. It's a 15-minute program, and it goes right along with this, which means not only do they get it with the DRM platform, but they also have the information with the card that they can use. And let me see if I can find it right here. We've had such an incredible increase of people listening in Japan. We had one come in last night. I was able to download because I get reception reports every day for the DRM broadcast from Guam. And a man wrote in last night and he says, I'm a regular listener. He said, I'm listening to Every Man a Warrior right now. And he said, I had to go on a business trip. He said, I was 2 weeks away. I couldn't listen to it. But now that I'm back, I'm listening to it. And there are over... There are 17 different listener groups right now in Japan with 47 men that are in these groups. And they're going through this book. So someone on the ground, Japanese pastors that work with us, lead these groups or have a man in their church go through this men's ministry book. And what it's done is, you know, men in Japan are so much against Christianity that it's very hard for them to want to get involved. Usually it's the wives that will become Christians and they're ostracized then in their families. But we're seeing men start to connect. They're going through what they see as God's truth. And it does a powerful thing in their lives. One of the other things I've been working with this in the last 4 months has been a ministry to Africa. And that ministry was, we were having people saying in the hardest to reach areas in the Horn of Africa, which is in the Northeast, which is Eritrea, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, and Chad, a couple other countries there, is there's a cry for God's word. They want to know the truth about God's word. And we've had many that say, you know, Islam tells us one thing, but it isn't true with what we see. And then we hear something. A few folks have been able to tune into our broadcast from Eswatini, what was called Swaziland in South Africa. And they get God's word and say, this is the truth. We need to know more of it. And so as this has come about, our African director said, we've got to do something about getting to this part of Africa specifically. So with much prayer, 4 months ago, we had a country that's in that area of the Horn of Africa, a gentleman came to us and he says, there's a shortwave station we had here that isn't on the air any longer. I own it now. Can I give it to you so you can broadcast from here into this area? And so 4 months, and this means for me getting up at 3 a.m. to talk with the folks as we put this plan together, we now have a multimedia agenda to be able to work into that way. South Carolina, 2 months ago, a station closed down that was a shortwave station. And so all of their antennas and their transmitters and slew switches, other things to go along with it, were either going to be demolished or almost given away. They wanted to see if they could sell them. So we were able to get a 4x4 curtain antenna. This is an antenna that's 250 feet square antenna. It's a curtain. And it's just what we can use with one of our transmitters in Eswatini. And so now with the slew box that goes along with that, meaning we can change the azimuth or direction of the antenna 30 degrees to reach a wider area, we now have that already being packaged and shipped to go to Eswatini so that we can focus that exclusively to the Horn of Africa. At the same time, that land that I just told you about in the Horn of Africa, we have already some folks putting together what's needed to put in 300 kilowatt, that's a 300,000 watt AM transmitter in that country. We already have programming to start being used to put that way. So it's amazing what God's doing. We've got four languages already available to go on the air, and we're looking at up to 16 languages within 2 years as the construction gets concluded so that we can reach that area. And again, it's not just over the air, although that exclusively gets into the homes of people, especially when there are political circumstances or something else where they can't get out and go to church, but also for studies like this that will be put over the air. So God is working powerfully in these ways. So if you could, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 9? And I'd like to share a little bit of what I see the Lord doing, not only in the ministry we have, but in our hearts and lives together. So I'd like to start in prayer. Father, thank you for this time, and we look forward to what you have in your word for us. And I pray that you would use this today to encourage us and to draw us closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 9 is usually thought of as this is the chapter where Paul is going to Damascus and the Lord meets him in a very dramatic way. But I want to share something else with you. And I'd like to title this Chosen. But if you'd go with me to verse 10, it starts out, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.'" Now, here we have, obviously, to me, Ananias is a disciple. This is a chosen servant of God because with the Holy Spirit living in him, he's a disciple. He's hearing what the Lord's saying, so the Lord calls him. And he has this special opportunity for him to go to the street called Straight, and there's a man there named Saul that I want you to go and touch his eyes so that he can receive his sight. Now, as we know, if we look down in verses 13 and 14, in the back of Ananias's mind, he's already heard about Saul, hasn't he? 13 says, "Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.'" You know, from what I can see here, the church that's in Damascus was already preparing for Saul to come, and it wasn't good because they knew that he was angry, that he was a very forceful person. He had an agenda. As he's looking and obviously already been known as persecuting Christians, it mentions at the end of Acts chapter 8 that he was arresting Christians, binding them, sending them to prison. Some were being killed. We know what happened to Stephen. He was stoned, and Saul was right there when that happened. So here we have a persecutor or a terrorist to the Church of Christ that's in Damascus, and they're preparing for him. So Ananias says, "Lord, do you realize what this is, what you're asking me to do?" And of course, as we know, and what we shared earlier, but God. Yes, God did know. And so it's kind of interesting that in verses 14 and 15, I'll get back down to the end of this here, it says, "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go.'" This is really something that sets it all apart. "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So now we see that God's showing Ananias, you know, this is really what my plan is. Ananias had no idea what God would do. Saul had no idea what God was going to do with him, but he was preparing them for being able to do God's will and ministry as it was going on, to, again, proclaim God's word, to proclaim Jesus throughout the world. What a future for this man now that was broken, he was blind, he was waiting for Ananias to come and talk with him, to give him sight and to bring him into the fellowship of the Lord. And, you know, God's purpose for Ananias and Saul is a real picture of what he has for us, too, isn't it? It's not what your life was before God came into your life, but what God has planned for you afterwards. I'd like to look in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just read this to you. And it starts out in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's beforehand. We were sinners, and it wasn't anything we did. It's what the Lord did in our lives. "For by grace you are saved, through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God brings his salvation freely to us by his grace and his mercy. And then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, this is really the center verse of what I'm sharing with you this morning. God chose us. He chose Ananias. He chose Saul. He chose each one of us to do something very specific and individual as his Holy Spirit works in us. I've found that there's a joy that believers have, especially during these times of crisis, where we can share something. It could be in any different way, because each of us has different circumstances in our lives that are very unique to what we have. We've been gifted because God, through his Holy Spirit, has gifted us with spiritual gifts. He's brought the circumstances and the gifts together. He's allowed us to be part of a church or a fellowship that also has a very specific direction as to how we reach out to communities. What God can do is unbelievable. And seeking him in that is just what we see here with Ananias specifically. Ananias didn't want to do what God had asked him to do. But as God continued to talk with him, he yielded and he went to see Saul. And from there, things really started to happen. As Saul became the greatest evangelist that the world had seen, reaching the then known world at that time. So for a take-home truth, I'd like to share three things with you. First of all, you're wired uniquely. And to me, it's the greatest joy you can have. I'll share, you know, like with Kathy, my wife, being wired uniquely. When we were locked down, so to speak, in Fountain Hills, Arizona, here's a small community, and we were looking to get into a smaller community because we wanted to be with people and reach out to people as we were familiar with doing in Guam. And we got to this community, and we're asking the Lord for direction. And he directed us to a church there that was one of the few that were meeting. A number of them had completely closed down. But we met with this church, and the church was looking to really build and get committed. And it's funny, with a men's ministry. It was the men's ministry was what was pushing things in this church. But as Kathy's looking at things, an opportunity rose up for a retirement community for her to become involved with that. So she started that, and that's why she went back to Fountain Hills ahead of time here, because she's on schedule. She's one of a few folks, and they have a hard time getting all the personnel that really ministers to the retired folks that are there, and some are even in skilled and in different areas of that housing community where they really need help. And since she's been there, we have a chaplain from our church that was retired that's now there doing Bible studies and even a church service during the week. And we have two pastors at our church. One of them is even doing a Bible study and service along with his chaplain at this home. And since we've been able to open up new facilities January 1st, we actually have started a ministry to get some of those folks, if they're able to travel, into our church and become part of the fellowship. So that's something that she got involved with. God wired her in such a way that she's even been able to teach some of the folks there how to reach out and literally be a friend to a lot of the people that are residents there. It's something you would think that would be a common natural thing for the staff to be able to reach out in an intimate way with the residents, but that's not the case. And in a way, she's able to share Jesus not only with the residents, which I could share some stories with you about, but also with the staff that work there. So again, God gifts us because he's uniquely wired us. And the second thing to remember is the circumstances in our lives are very unique to us. And when God puts those two things together, things happen. And that's exciting. Pray about that as you look at each day. God, what do you have for me today? It happens. It really does. And then the third thing is, how is your life shaped to be His blessing for others? As you look to Him each day, He will show you, something will happen, and you'll find that you can do that. I'd like to share a testimony about that. So I'm watching my time here, and a testimony is about a man named Paul Bramson. His family were Danish immigrants, and they ended up in California, and Paul is my age, and he started in his father's footsteps. He was a roofer, and even though they were roofers, his dad was a very committed Christian, and the one thing they focused on in their life was, how can we be servants of God, and literally looking at how He's going to use us. Paul ended up applying with New Tribes Mission. He ended up in South Carolina, where he met his wife, and together they went with New Tribes to Africa. And while they were there, he found that the his passion for the scriptures and sharing with the men there, the Muslim men, and with thousands of conversations he had with them, led him to start writing. And so first of all, he wrote a book, and then he continued to look at how he could reach out to them. With some medical issues that came up, he had to come back to the States. And this is a but God moment, not a maybe. This, you know, it's amazing that this thing did happen, but God brought exclusively into his life just what happened with Ananias. He met with a TWR representative, and they said, why don't we put this into a radio program? So now he has 115-minute radio programs called The Way of Righteousness. And you can listen to that in English on our Bible app, but it's exclusively for Muslim people. And at this time, we're in over 20 different languages. It started in this language, the Wolof language, from where he was originally stationed. But it's now in 20 languages, including in different Indonesian languages. It's in China, and it's in India. And it speaks mostly of how God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament books. But the literal word that's used is, Muslim men are looking for truth. And where they find that God's word meets that truth, it really brings them in. And for a 15-minute program, it leads you through the Old Testament prophets specifically, and eventually, of course, to where Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. And this has been the most productive of our broadcast to bringing Muslim men. And if men come to know the Lord in those countries, then the families start to come too. Now, this didn't end there. Paul had a son named Nate. And Nate was doing studies in Egypt. And Paul went to see his son Nate in Egypt for a while. And as they started to look through a lot of the programs and the writings that Paul had done, and Nate was looking at how he could be involved in an international ministry. So they noticed that the children didn't have much for material in Egypt so that they could learn the Word of God. So Nate started working with his dad to put something together, and he got the vision, why don't I do a video? And from that video came another program. And so in 2009, they started something called The King of Glory, and it's a 70-scene picture book with outlines and scripture that work chronologically through the Bible for children. Well, now, again, if you listen to TWR 360, it also has video on that smartphone app, too. And we have now a series of videos, and they're 15-minute videos, so that children can follow through, and they can come to know what the Bible says and how the Lord worked in that respect. So it's remarkable. Here are two men that God chose exclusively to do this type of ministry. And I'll share with you another testimony from Ethiopia as I close here. As we're looking at this area I mentioned in the Horn of Africa we're working at, we had a letter that came in, and it was from this listener. He said, we had no religion in our house at all. He said, my dad practiced witchcraft. And he said, one day I was listening, and further down in the village, I heard all of this noise and strange voices. So he went running down into the village, and he saw a group of people there. They were singing praises to God, and they were praying. And so he asked them, you know, what is this? And they said, well, we're Christians, and you can know God personally. In fact, if you have something in your life that you really long to know, you can find out what it is, the answer to that, by knowing God. And they gave them a radio. And with that radio, it wasn't one of these, but it was another radio where they could also use it as an audio player with some scriptures. And so this, call him a boy, a young man, went home and he started listening to this over and over again. And along with that came the frequency of where he could pick up the broadcast in their language from our Eswatini site. So he accepted Christ. And when he wrote, he says, I am really hoping that this group comes back to the village again, because what I really want to do is to go to the village again and be able to sing with them and to praise God. So that was the story from the area we're looking to reach to. So I hope that encourages you. I have quite a few more stories I can share, and maybe we can do that later. But God is good, and he continues to work through each one of us. And he knows who needs to hear the gospel wherever they are in the world. So we can reach 4 million of the 4 billion of the 7.2 billion people that we know of in the world today. And that's in 300 different languages right now, in every platform that we can use, which again is then related to national workers, to really dig in with the national people to be able to encourage and bring discipleship about. Thank you for your partnership in this ministry. And I'll close. Father God, we just rejoice in you this morning. We thank you because you're an active God. You care for us, and you show your care in remarkable ways. We just pray, Lord, for this community, for this country, for the world, as we see these different crises coming about, Lord, that your gospel would go before us and that it would bring many into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
George, you're a blessing. You know, every week when we call for tithes and offerings and we explain to you what this money goes for, that's a perfect example of a great explanation of a ministry that you are all involved in. Maybe a small part, but I thank you for your giving, and I thank you for your efforts in Trans World. And to see, I don't know George really well, but he's been coming here quite a while, probably close to 20 years. And he still has a passion that burns inside him. That makes me happy. So if you would, in closing, let's stand and close in the praise song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. On the second, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness. to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And on the last, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Strength to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that George was able to come and fill us in on all of the mission work that has been going on that he has had a part of with Transworld Radios. We thank you for all these folks who have continued to give in tithes and offerings. But Lord, as we know, we are all told to go preach the gospel. So lay it on our hearts to do what you want us to do, whether it be at work, on our routes, in our factories, or wherever, to share the gospel with those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.